I'm just going to read Psalm 98. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the people with equity. Now, the bit with Sue is her idea, but you'll see how it works. Now then, when we look at this country and all the bad things that happen in it, it can pull us down a bit. When we look at Europe and all the troubles going on there, it can cause us distress and depression. And then we look at the world, just gets worse. Just utter despair. And you just want to bury your head in the sand and make it all go away. And quite often when we look closer at home and our own personal problems, it surprises me that any of us can find joy and hope. So now I've depressed you. I'm going to lift you up. I'll show you how joy and hope can be achieved in such a depressing world. Now, you will all, I'll show you a way that brings joy and hope to our inner beings and focuses our minds on the things of God and brings peace to our lives. Remember, we are to remain joyful in all circumstances. A bit hard sometimes. So the big question is, how? The Psalms are wonderful to read in times of trouble. They give us strength and hope during difficult times. Many of the Psalms really hit the right spot because they were written during distressing times experienced by God's people. The Psalms became, in a sense, God's book of hope to his people. And it still applies today. How often do we read a psalm and our spirits are lifted? So before we look at the meaning of Psalm 98, I presume you'd guess that's what I was talking on. And how it can help us today, I want you to notice how often the psalm calls for joy and singing. In verse 1 it reads, sing to the Lord. In verse 4 reads, make a joyful noise, sing praises, break forth into joyous song. Verses 5 and 6 repeat these calls for joyous songs and joyful noise. And verse 8 says to clap the hands and sing for joy together. So the point of this psalm is for his people to sing and have joy. So how is this possible? How can we have joy in a world that seems to be crumbling down to its very foundations? So let's look at Psalm 98 and consider the Lord's answer. The psalm is broken up into verses 1 to 3. The subject of praise is announced. In the second part, 4 to 6, the manner of that praise is prescribed. And in the third, 7 to 9, the universal extent of its proclaimed. Now then, the reason I read Mary's song was because it would appear that Mary was thinking of Psalm 98 when she was singing the song. So tonight, when you look at Psalm 98 and compare it with Mary's song, you can see that there is a link. And in a sense, you've got your own David and Mary tonight. Because my name's David and Sue's middle name is Mary. A bit obscure, but okay. So I'm going to read. It's a bit like, well, it's entitled The Voice and the Echo. So I'm going to read the voice, which is David's bit. And Sue is going to read the echo from the song. And you'll see how close they are to each other. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song.
My soul doth magnify the Lord.
He hath done marvellous things.
He that is mighty hath done great things.
With his own right hand and holy arm hath he gotten himself the victory.
He has showed strength with his arm and scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts.
The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed.
His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation.
He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel.
He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy.
Thank you. So as we see, this is a quote from Adam Clarke. These parallels are very striking. It seems as if Mary had this psalm in her eye when she composed her song of triumph. And this is a further argument that the whole psalm, whether it recorded the deliverance of Israel from Egypt or the Jews from the Babylonish captivity, is yet to be ultimately understood of the redemption of the world by Jesus Christ. And the proclamation of his gospel through all nations of the earth. And taking in this view, no language can be too strong, no poetic imagery too high, to point out the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now then, let's get on to the passage. So the first instruction we're given in verse 1 is to sing to the Lord a new song. Now, if we put it in our context, we get tired of new songs sometimes, don't we? When a new song comes out, it gets hammered and hammered, and you can get fed up. Just ask Alan. He's one or two like that. And quite often, we like to sing different songs because it's different. Not that I ever get bored of them, because I love to sing the hymns and the songs, but, you know, sometimes you can overdo it a bit. But God does not think like we do, thankfully. God does not get bored or tired of hearing the old songs. Like we can do it, so singing a new song must mean something different than just a new song. A new song is a celebration of a new victory accomplished by the Lord. A new song is a song of salvation offered to the Lord in the context of a victory. People are singing about salvation because they are to remember God's deliverance for them. There's also the fact that when we accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour, our heart does sing a new song. Sometimes in our walk with Jesus, we feel distant. We feel God is not close to us. But this can be a time of testing for us. I always remember when I first got saved, my brother mentioned this to me. And he says, so just be aware of it. But during these times, we need to remember God's deliverance that he has brought about in our lives. As a new song is a way of remembering a victory for God, in a way, looking back and remembering what God has done for us is like singing a new song to the Lord. It is remembering a victory of God's in our lives. The Lord's right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. What a declaration, eh? God, this is our Father we're talking about. God is powerful. He brings about salvation for himself. And it is by his own power that he brings victory for himself. Think about that. Our Father gives us a wonderful hope. God will act for his own purposes and to defend his own name and holiness. Not only will he act on our behalf, but on behalf of his chosen people, but also on his own behalf. After all, he has a plan. There's a plan for this planet, for this earth that we live on, and it will be fulfilled because God will bring victory for himself. God's faithfulness and righteousness is revealed through his salvation to Israel and to the ends of the earth. All the nations of the earth will see God's redemption. And God remembers his steadfast love and faithfulness. And that is our hope today. God's people are continuing to sing the new song. There is quite a bit of scripture in this, so it's up to you if you want to follow, but I will read it out. Revelation 5, 8 to 10. Now when he has taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of full incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. We shall reign on the earth." And in Revelation 14, 1-3, "Then I looked, and behold, a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as if it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000. Who were redeemed from the earth." Revelation shows us that the new song is a message of victory and salvation. By the blood of the Lamb, God's people have been ransomed, and that is from 5:9, and redeemed from 14:3, and made a kingdom and priests to the Lord. God's victory is our victory. But God is acting for his benefit on our behalf. Our benefit, sorry. Romans 8:1-4 says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. And what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, it condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So in the despair, in the days of despair and hopelessness that we live, think of God's love for you and for me, and the salvation he brought to you through Jesus Christ. Let's look at verses 4 to 6. "Here we are called to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Everyone on earth should do this. But notice, we are to shout a joyful noise to the Lord and King. In fact, we are to break forth in song." Don't worry, I'm not going to do. "Rejoice and sing praises. Our worship is not to come from a feeling of obligation, but from the joy in our hearts that the Lord is King. Our God reigns." And put that picture in your mind. God rules over all the earth. And this is the second reason we can have joy in the midst of distress and fear. God is ruling, and nobody can alter that. But just imagine what a joyful noise a harp, a trumpet, and a horn can make together with someone singing a psalm. But now multiply that by hundreds. And this is the type of joyful noise they're talking about. So when we sing to the Lord, sing out and be joyful. Let's lift the roof, as they say. After all, that's what the psalm tells us to do. I remember when we went down to Bourne, we were at the back. You know, not everybody sits at the back, but quite a lot do. Sue and I were singing out, and somebody turned around and said, "Wow, you two don't half give it some, do you?" You know, we were singing out loud, like we do here. So I encourage you, when we're singing, sing out loud. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with a harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. In Daniel, in chapter 2, 20 to 22, it says this: Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God for ever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and rises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him." And again in Daniel 4:28-32. "All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, 'Is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?' While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses.'" And in Revelation 19:16 he says, "And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, 'King of Kings and Lord of Lords.'" Since Jesus is the King over all kings and the Lord over all other masters, then our joy rests in the knowledge of God's sovereign rule over the events of the earth. And this was the message of the book of Revelation. You can have joy and comfort in the knowledge that Jesus is King, and Jesus rules over the earth. Are you happy about that? Yeah. You've got to remember the things of this world that are going on The things in our lives that distract us are there as a distraction. We need to focus on Jesus. I remember when I was at the Bible College, the Ealing Bible College, about halfway through the year, somebody got up and he was preaching, and it was on about focusing on the horizon. You need to keep focusing on Jesus. And when he asked, do people need to come forward for prayer? I tell you, 2/3 of those students got up because they'd been distracted with the course. They were that much under pressure. They were losing the focus on Jesus. So we've got to remember, whatever the world throws at us, our Father, Jesus, is greater. We need not worry. Focus on Jesus. Verses 7 to 9. All of the earth is called upon to rejoice in the Lord. We have already seen that our joy comes from our God as our Saviour and our God as our King. But we also see in verses 7 to 9 that we have joy in distress because God is the judge. We notice in this verse 8 and 9, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. And he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The joy of the Lord is the occasion for joy. Jesus will judge the world. So sing of the coming judgment day. Look forward to the return of Christ. Jesus will make things right. We find joy and hope in the judgment of the Lord. And listen to some of the New Testament expressions of this truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:13-16. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, which as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sin, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. And in 2 Thessalonians 1:5-12, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, on those who do not obey the gospel
of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when it comes to your enemies, God will right the wrongs you have experienced. When it comes to the world's evils like terrorism and ISIS and things like that, God is the righteous judge, and he will judge them according to their deeds. The world seemed to collapse in the first 3 centuries as Christians were being killed for their love of the Lord. But God judged those evildoers. We may be entering another time of global distress, but we know that God will judge every evil act committed by every evil person. Our joy is in the return of our Lord. Our joy and hope come not from ourselves, but from the Lord who saves, rules and judges the earth. We do not have to be disturbed by life's problems or political issues or global events, because God reigns and he will put his enemies under his feet. And finally, 1 Corinthians 15:24 to 26. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and to all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So when all things are going wrong, when you're looking at the news, when you're getting depressed about what's going on, remember what Jesus did, what God has done for us. At the end, that's all that matters. Jesus is King, and Jesus rules over all the earth. Amen.